Tuesday, and that means it's time to talk to Riley Gates, our Wildcat Insider, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right, Riley, we have a theme going on today. Dusty busted out the Kayla Gott-Dean Wade relationship, which, you know, we some of us knew about that, and that's great. And then I busted out that, you know, Fort Hays State women unfortunately lost last night. Madison Mitty, Coach Mitty's daughter, last we knew, was still dating Sam Pauls. We thought she was smarter than that, but we know it's okay. Maybe he's got some dirt on her. I have no idea. Any other relationships that we should know about taking place at the college level, Riley? Can you give us that inside scoop?
I feel like people do a pretty good job of keeping that a secret from people like me. You know, although when you're posting everything on Instagram, you're bound to yes. You're bound to find something eventually. But nothing concrete, nothing really juicy that really anybody here would be interested in. I'll say that.
Darn. Well, at least we tried. Well, I know one thing that people want to know about, and that's probably the biggest burning question when it comes to K-State athletics right now, or at least in basketball terms, and that is, what is the status of Dean Wade? Tell us what you know or don't know at this point in time.
I know the same thing that I've known for a week and a half, 2 weeks now, and that is that he is very up in the air. Nobody's really sure one way or another. They haven't gotten an official word, or at least they haven't released an official word that they have gotten yet. He went to the doctor yesterday to get evaluated, and when we had Bruce Weber on the teleconference, he had not yet spoken to the doctor, had not yet spoken to Dean. So we got nothing new right now, and honestly, I think it's going to stay that way. I mean, heck, I'd be surprised if we got a single release or an official word the rest of this season. I mean, the way I see it, he's a guy that if you're an opponent, you have to know, you know, even if you don't think he's going to play, you still have to go into practice and put in some packages in case he plays. So honestly, if he's able to be off the crutches, I wouldn't be shocked if he's in uniform every game at the NCAA tournament and just never steps on the floor.
Yeah, kind of like last year for the most part. He played 8 minutes, and that was against Kentucky. And, of course, K-State made it to Elite Eight. And it's interesting when you look at K-State's region, Virginia is the one again. And so go Gardner-Webb. But K-State, their first matchup against UC Irvine, and I think we talked about this last year. We talked about during the offseason that K-State, and I think we thought KU was going to be just really awesome because they were the preseason number one, and of course that hasn't worked out that way. But we thought both teams may very well be better this year, but might get tougher matchups earlier on in the tournament and won't go as deep in the tournament as they did last year. K-State to Elite Eight, KU to the Final Four. I think most people would say KU is probably not going to make the Final Four. And I, without Dean Wade, I think a lot of people say, well, K-State's not going to make the Elite Eight, but yet they did. Without Dean Wade, for the most part, last year, and they're a more experienced group with that experience from last year in the tournament to help them out this season. When you look at K-State's draw, what are your thoughts?
Well, first off, I think UC Irvine is a good team, and I think they're fine, but I also think people looked at them and they went, oh, they're 30-5, and they've won 16 straight games. Of course they're going to be the team to beat K-State. And if you just look, I mean, just look at the schedule and look at the Big West Conference, UC Irvine didn't play anybody. I mean, they have not tested themselves at all. And this is a team that I don't think K-State's really going to struggle with. I think they're going to get by UC Irvine pretty easily. But honestly, the whole South region, man, the South region is so tough. Five of the teams in the region are in the top 11 in scoring defense, and that's just absurd. They're all averaging holding their opponents under 70 points a game, which in this day and age you just don't see a whole lot of, and to see five teams in one region is really, really crazy. So I really don't like that for K-State, but also at the same time I kind of like it because it kind of plays into their game. You know, yeah. they're one of the teams in that top 11, and you know, they're number five, I think, so they're right up there with the best of the best. I don't mind San Jose, and I think it'll be fine. I'm just gonna be blunt. This team should have been in the Midwest region, or this team should have been in Tulsa or Des Moines to start the first and second rounds. I mean, that's what it should have been. It's a joke that they're not. It's absurd, and it really just shows the way that the NCAA views matchup. They don't go based on who's the best team or who proves it the best. They go based on what's going to sell the most tickets, what's going to drive the TV ratings and things like that. And that's abundantly clear by this season. K-State did not get rewarded, but, you know, they're good on the road, so I guess they're going to have to keep that, you know, like they say, road dog mentality. They're 7-2 in Big 12 play, I think, on the road, and that's just what they're going to have to do this season, unfortunately, because this is the hand that they were given by the NCAA, and like I said, I believe it was the wrong hand to give them because they deserved a better draw.
Well, you could have put K-State in the Midwest as a 3, and they could have gone to Tulsa. You could have done that. If you believe in trying to put butts in the seats, then Kansas, they should have put Kansas as a 3 and gone to Tulsa. Instead, they sent Kansas to Salt Lake City. You know, it's interesting when you look at how this all shapes up. In some cases, I would say the first couple rounds, they're not worried about putting butts in the seats. They're more worried about the regional semifinals and finals, which to me I think is a little bit misleading, or not misleading is probably not the right word, but misguided, because when you get to the regional semis and finals, you're usually going to have some big-time name that's still going to be alive in all four of the regions. And so, especially if you got like a Kentucky, for crying out loud, that's going to fill the seats. So to me, you know, I don't know if Houston's going to fill up Tulsa. I don't know if Iowa State, which, you know, the fans travel, but Tulsa's not Kansas City. I agree with you that if they wanted to sell tickets, they should have sent K-State or KU to Tulsa. And some people would say, oh, my God, KU got a 3 seed. That's a travesty. Well, if you're about trying to make money, that would have made more sense to have KU as the 4, and they could go to San Jose, K-State the 3, go to Tulsa. Or if you're looking at Des Moines, you could shake it around a little bit there as well. Because you got Des Moines, you've got Michigan and Nevada. Well, that's not, I don't know. Michigan, they travel. But I guess what I'm trying to say is when you look at the brackets and what the NCAA is trying to do, you got Cincinnati that could be hosting, in essence, a second-round game against a 2 seed, and it's in their backyard of Columbus, Ohio. I know people are freaking out. Kansas is going to play in Kansas City, which I say they're not even going to get there. But even if they do you really think Kansas is going to beat North Carolina and Kansas City? I really don't. I've watched Carolina quite a bit. They're so much better than Kansas. So I guess my question is, what's the biggest travesty of this bracket?
I mean, to me, if you're just talking about that Midwest part, I mean, as the bracket as a whole, no, K-State not getting the Midwest isn't the biggest thing out there. And I understand the argument of, well, you know, KU has to get to Kansas City first. Even if they get there, it's going to be tough. Look, if Kansas gets past the first 2 games, I'm more than willing to say that they're going to have just as equal of a shake at this as North Carolina, as Kentucky, as anybody, or not Kentucky, excuse me. But look, it's just these are 4 teams that whoever makes that, if Kansas gets past Auburn, they can do anything in this bracket. And the way that I'm looking at it is it shouldn't be a mindset of, oh, well, they might not get to Kansas City, or you know, they're going to make for an entertaining game. I'm okay with KU getting a 4 seed. I'm okay with KU being a high seed in the tournament because they played the best non-conference schedule in the country.
Exactly.
They went, you know, they went 11-1 or 12-1 or whatever they went in that schedule. And they proved they could do it. But also at the same time, they were horrible on the road in Big 12 play.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't win the Big 12 conference. They didn't win the Big 12 conference tournament. And they got whooped by Iowa State in the championship game. At some point, something needed to come into play in K-State's favor, and you know, and Texas Tech got a bit of a fair shake too. That they get to go out west, and I mean, you're in Lubbock, you're not really going to have a favorable sight no matter where you go. But I just think that the fact that K-State was 14-4 in the conference, they won the Big 12, and they were a minute and a half away from playing for the Big 12 conference championship, a game that they could have won. To not give them anything and to give KU a non-champion a spot in Kansas City is just wrong to me, and it shows to me that the KU is going to have to go 12-6 or something like that in Big 12 play, and K-State's going to have to win the conference if they ever want to get back to that spot or share it with KU. I don't know, but I guess at the end of the day, my argument is K-State should have been rewarded in some way for winning the Big 12. And the fact that Louisville, Kentucky is their quote-unquote home site for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, to me, is just a little bit unfair to the Big 12 champion, but I don't set the bracket. I just go cover the games.
Yeah, and I understand where you're coming from on some of that. I think the thing we have to keep in mind, though, we're putting way too much – and this is the thing. We gotta start thinking like the committee does. And I know it changes from year to year, but when we get caught up in this, well, they're a conference champion – or, well, they won their conference tournament. You know, they got second during the regular season, and then they had a nice week, and they won their conference tournament. Why are we even playing non-con games? If that's your argument that it's all about winning a conference championship, that's not how the committee puts this together, man. It's the whole body of work. In Kansas, listen, people might not like to hear it, but you pointed it out. Their non-con is one of the best in the country. So if they finish a couple games out of first, they can compensate for finishing third compared to first in their conference and because of who they played early in the year. Now, having said that, they played those teams. They beat Michigan State. They beat Tennessee. They beat Villanova. That one's at Allen Fieldhouse. But two of those three they won were without LeGerald Vick, with LeGerald Vick, with Udoka Azubuike. And so I think a lot of people are freaking out about if your argument is that K-State should be in Kansas City instead of KU, I think that's a fair argument, and I would understand the argument where it comes from. But if people are just in general ticked off that Kansas could play in Kansas City, I think that's just silly. First of all, I watch K-State and KU. I've watched every game this year. And if K-State and KU played 10 times on a neutral floor, I think it's pretty dead even. I really do. And they split this year. KU won in Lawrence. K-State won in Manhattan. But K-State did win the conference title, shared with Texas Tech. Kansas did not. I think K-State got rewarded with a 4 seed because they won the conference tournament. Because, see if you agree with this. Do you think K-State would have been seeded at 4 if they had not got a share of the Big 12 title?
No, not at all.
So, to me, they got rewarded. They got rewarded with a 4 seed. Because of what they did in conference. But their non-con was not super good. They had bad losses. I mean, KU, you talked about bad road games. You're right, absolutely right. But losing at Tulsa is a bad loss. Losing at Texas A&M is a bad loss. Perhaps those bad losses or the weakness of the non-con is what kept K-State out of a better situation in regards to geography. But I understand that Kansas, why is it Kansas that reaps the benefits? Why isn't it somebody else other than Kansas that could be in Kansas City? I see that whole argument, but when I watch Kansas, Riley, I'm going to be dead honest with you. When I watch Kansas, I don't see them getting there. I don't. And if they do, I don't care if the game's at Allen Fieldhouse. I don't think Kansas has beaten North Carolina. Kansas doesn't have the horses. They don't shoot the three well. Their best player plays below the rim. You go against the athleticism of a Duke or North Carolina, Kentucky. We already saw Kansas go to Kentucky. And really, I mean, they were no serious threat to win that game. I just think people are freaking out about Kansas making this run because they're handed Kansas City. When last I checked, Kansas has problems in Kansas City before. Lost in the Elite Eight 2 years ago to Oregon. You still have to go play. And this is the bottom line. K-State has an opportunity. Whether it's San Jose, Manhattan, Kansas, Lubbock, Texas, K-State earned a 4 seed, and now they can go out and prove they deserve the 4 seed. And Kansas, I guess you could say, take advantage of maybe a gift, certainly, with being in Kansas City, but they still got to play the dang game. I can't believe how people just automatically think, well, they got Kansas City. Well, KU's going to go to the Final Four. It's ridiculous. Watch the games.
Yeah. I mean, look, we can sit here and split hairs all day about, you know, who should have gotten this, who should have gotten that. And I mean, I'm always going to be in on the camp that says KU really just should not have been in the Midwest. I think they should have been Salt Lake or whatever, and then, you know, go to Anaheim or go to...
I agree. I agree with you.
Anything like that. So
Bill Self agrees with you.
Yeah.
He does. He was shocked they were put in the Midwest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of says it for itself. The fact that, look, if Bill Self's shocked that they're in the Midwest, I think Bill Self's a pretty knowledgeable man, and he kind of understood the way that this goes. And I think if the shoe is on the other foot, if it's K-State that played the tough non-con, but KU that won the Big 12,
yep.
I think KU gets the Midwest, and that's really all the further that I feel to argue that all that more, and I really think that that's true. But, you know, look, wherever you are playing, yes, you still got to go take care of business, And that's what, you know, both of these teams are going to have incredibly tough matchups if they get to that 4-5 game. You know, I think Auburn's a buzzsaw, and I don't really see KU getting past them. And but you know, if they do, I think that Kansas City comes into play for them huge. And that's why, to me, the uproar is justified, is because, look, if you get to the Sweet 16, it's anybody's game, and being in Kansas City is going to help you. So credit to, you know, I would give KU credit. I would give KU just as fair of a shot at making the Final Four as I would North Carolina in that situation. But you know what? I think K-State also has a very tough draw on its hands, and they're going to face a really good Wisconsin team in Ethan Happ if they get to that game, and Oregon doesn't knock off Wisconsin there. So, you know, both teams, if either side makes it to the Sweet 16, that's going to be really impressive in my opinion, because I don't really see either of these two teams getting to the Sweet 16. I just wish the conference champion had been rewarded. That's all.
Okay. Which bracket do you think is tougher, the South or the Midwest? I mean, for me, I would rather be with Virginia than North Carolina and Kentucky. And by the way, Tennessee's really good. I like Tennessee a lot. Virginia and Tennessee are the top two seeds in the South with Kansas State. And then you got Carolina and Kentucky, the top two. And then Houston's a three in the Midwest. Purdue is a three in the South. I think that's a wash. I don't know if either team's going to make a run there. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. Trust me, I do. I get it. And I'm not – I want to make this very clear. I'm not arguing that Kansas should have been in the Midwest, and I'm not arguing that Kansas should be rewarded with Kansas City. I want to make that crystal clear. I am not saying that. All I'm saying is they've got to get there first, and even if they get there, I don't like their chances. And it's Kansas City. People say it's easier. Listen, Kansas has more pressure on them when they're in Kansas City, because they're expected to win because it's their backyard. And we just saw a couple years ago that didn't help Devontae Graham shoot the ball any better after all these games at Sprint Center earlier in the year. And he couldn't make a shot. And Oregon got out big and ended up beating Kansas. And Kansas didn't make it to the Final Four, lost in the regional final with Frank Mason and Devontae Graham as their starting backcourt. And they had Josh Jackson in that game as well. So I just think people got to be careful just thinking, well, that automatically enhances their chances by 25 or 30%. But I agree that they shouldn't be in the Midwest and that they shouldn't be rewarded with Kansas City in that round. But would you rather be with Virginia and Tennessee or North Carolina or Kentucky?
Honestly, I think I'd rather be in the Midwest, and it's not because I think the one and the two are in the South are tough. It's not Virginia and Tennessee that scare me in K-State's region. It's a sixth seed in Villanova. It's a five seed in Wisconsin, like I said, with Ethan Happ, an All-American, that if you don't have Dean Wade, is going to be impossible to stop. I think that Purdue team can catch fire, and I think Carson Edwards can go off, and I also think that Old Dominion could knock off Purdue in that first round, like you mentioned, that Purdue team is a little bit iffy. I think the middle of the pack there. I think Villanova's coming out of the South. That's who I have, honestly, man. That's why I hate it, but I played it out, and I got Villanova out of that region. I think they're going to get hot again and go to the Final Four once again. So it's not the one and the two, because, yeah, North Carolina and Kentucky in the Midwest are by far better than Virginia and Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee got waxed in the SEC championship game by a five seed in Auburn now.
Tennessee beat Kentucky the day before.
Yeah, but everything else in between, man, in the Midwest is just not that intimidating to me. I don't think that – I think that Houston team is good. I don't think they're all that outstanding. That 8-9 game is garbage. The Iowa State is a six, could go to the Final Four, and they could lose to Ohio State in the first round.
Yes.
Because we know how streaky they are.
Yes.
And
Wofford's a seven. Wofford's a seven, which has surprised me.
Yeah, that was a little bit low, and my opinion. So I guess I just the way I see it is that there's so many more games that you're going to have to face to get to that regional final, the regional semifinal in the South that can kill you. And the one and the twos are going to be good everywhere. So it's not the one and the two that scare me more. It's everything in between, and for me, that's what makes the South region scarier.
Sometimes the regions open up for teams, and you get a Cinderella that goes and moves on. It seems like every year there's a 12 and a 13 blows up a bracket, and a 12 and 13 plays each other in the second round of the tournament. So let's just play some. Let's play a fun hypothetical game here, Riley. Let's say Oregon knocks off Wisconsin, and Ole Miss or Oklahoma. I'll say Ole Miss. I just don't think Oklahoma's that good. Ole Miss beats Virginia. Doesn't that change your whole perspective on the bracket? You know what I'm saying in regards to the matchups? Because it sounds to me like you're more worried about Wisconsin than Oregon. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't see Oregon winning that game. I think Oregon got hot at the right time, and they're bound to cool. So I think they're going to face Wisconsin. Yeah, I'd be really scared about that. And I think Virginia probably has a slightly better defense. I think Virginia probably has a slightly better defense than K-State, and they have a much better offense than K-State. So, look, K-State doesn't have an easy game. I mean, no game's easy in the NCAA tournament, but they don't have a single game that I look at before the Elite Eight, and I go, you know, if they face them there, yeah, they could pull it off. I mean, unless in Oklahoma made it to the Sweet 16. I really think K-State has a murderer's row to get back to the Elite Eight. So, and then, like I said earlier, I don't even know who's coming out of the bottom half of the South. But, you know, KU's in the same spot. They got, like I said, that really good Auburn team, and Carolina is Carolina. They obviously beat Duke twice this year without Zion, but they still beat them. I think, like I said earlier, man, both teams are in such a tough spot here.
Yeah.
That 4-13 game is always going to be tough because you're going to get a scrappy mid-major. And then you're going to get a five who is essentially you, you know. The team's just as good as you. So now you got to go beat a team that basically is what you are.
Listen, I look at this bracket, and I think KU and K-State, it sounds crazy because K-State was, what, the 8 or a 9 last year and beat Creighton, and they caught a break, UMBC knocking out Virginia, certainly. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at the path, it looks tougher for K-State this year. And you look at the path for Kansas, you know, we talked about K-State. You like probably taking Oregon and Dana Altman, former K-State coach, instead of Wisconsin. You see Irvine's a team that's a good rebounding team, and, you know, that's a concern, especially Dean Wade out for K-State if he is out. And Kansas has got to go up against Northeastern, which I'll tell you right now, don't go ahead and pencil Kansas' automatic win in that game. They play a team that plays four guards, and they shoot a lot of threes. And if they're hitting threes, Kansas is in deep trouble. And Kansas doesn't do well against four-guard lineups. Just see Iowa State, although Iowa State's certainly probably better than Northeastern. And then Kansas would play Auburn. You love Auburn, and I saw Auburn. They look great in the SEC tournament, but they rely on the three a lot. They go cold. They could easily lose first round. New Mexico State, I actually have winning against Auburn because I think Auburn won the SEC tournament. I stay away from teams that get hot for a week because I think you spend all that energy, and then you get in the tournament and you relax a little bit. New Mexico State or Auburn, New Mexico State lost by 3 to Kansas last year at Sprint Center, and New Mexico State should have won that game. And they didn't. And Kansas is not as good as they were a year ago. And New Mexico State has Chris Jans as their head coach, who was an assistant Greg Marshall. And trust me, Wichita State has a pretty good idea on what Kansas likes to do, especially after punking them in the tournament a few years ago. So I agree with you. I think Kansas and Kansas State, they're both 4 seeds. And when you look at the other 4 seeds in this tournament, you know, Florida State, Vermont, that's not going to be easy, of course. Vermont's good. And then Virginia Tech against St. Louis. I like Virginia Tech in that one. I mean, it does seem that if you're going to look at a double-digit seed upset, KU and K-State, both of them look kind of vulnerable in this first-round game a little bit, don't they?
They really do. And that's the thing. You know, I think it's two teams that if there's going to be a 14-3 or, excuse me, a 4-13 upset, it's probably going to come on one of those two. But also at the same time, I don't have either of them losing. I think that K-State is going to I think K-State's going to handle UC Irvine pretty well, and I think KU will take care of business against Northeastern. I think it's not a great KU team, but I think it's a KU team that's not going to fall apart that easily in a game like that. I think Bill Self's going to have them ready to go, so we'll see. Obviously, it's going to require both teams not having an off day, or you mentioned, you know, kind of how Northeastern shoots a three, or people kind of getting hot early. I mean, if that happens, it's the NCAA tournament. You can't stop somebody from that's hot and that's rolling. So, I mean, they're just going to have to come out and take care of business, not get wrapped up in this, you know, all this talk. Everybody wrote off K-State. Literally, the second the bracket was released, UC Irvine's going to win that game. UC Irvine's got it in the bag. And I'm like, well, why? I don't understand that. So, obviously, a lot of it's going to depend on Dean Wade. I don't really anticipate us seeing him, but, you know, hopefully we find out more definitively on that soon. But until then, we're just going to have to kind of play it by ear and really see what happens. But like I said, I do think this team is going to take care of UC Irvine, and then they're going to have their hands full in the next round.
For the record, I think KU is more vulnerable in that first-round matchup than K-State is. I agree with you. I think K-State's going to be okay against UC Irvine. The thing that I love about Kansas State compared to Kansas is K-State's got guys that have been there, done that. They've got the Elite Eight run with those seniors. I know Wade might not play. Sneed with that experience. Jada. Kansas, you look at them, they got a freshman backcourt. And I can see the Northeastern game, if Northeastern's hitting some threes and Kansas is down early, those freshmen are going to pucker up, man. We've seen Kansas freshmen struggle on the road. Now you get in a situation, season's on the line, a 4 versus a 13. Last time Kansas had a freshman backcourt in NCAA tournament, you remember that team that lost to Bradley? It was a 4 versus a 13, and they were young. They were inexperienced. And after the game, I remember Bill Self saying, well, you know, we just didn't have guys that were in that situation. They'll get better with experience. And then, of course, what happened? Eventually they won a national title with some of those same guys. So I do think Kansas is vulnerable there, and I hope they both do win. But I think people are just immediately jumping off the wagon K-State nationally because Dean Wade might not play. And so, well, there we go. There's a vulnerable one. I mean, K-State's defense travels. They have the experience. I just don't see them losing this first game. And I could easily see them make it to the Sweet 16. But I'm with you. Wisconsin, I don't think, is a good matchup.
Well, and let's also talk about, you know, you mentioned earlier how the committee probably took into account the fact that KU lost, you know, Udoka and Big, you know, all these guys. Well, people got to remember that K-State played a few games without Dean Wade.
Yep.
And a healthy Kamau Stokes. I mean, they probably don't lose to Texas if they have Dean Wade and Kamau Stokes at 100%. And, you know, that Tulsa game is obviously a bit of a really rough one, but that's like the only one that really kills them. I mean, it's tough to fault them for losing at Tech. Tough to fault them when Iowa State got hot, although that one was at home, but Dean got injured in that one again, too. So, in all the games really this year, take aside Marquette, take aside Tulsa, they've been without arguably their best players. So, I think it's a little bit ignorant, maybe poor-minded. I don't even know what the proper adjective here is to describe the feeling that K-State's just done before the game's even been tipped. And people have had a real chance to dive into this and look at the matchups. I think it's a I wouldn't advise people to just already write off K-State. I like K-State.
I'm with you because what do we hear every year? Well, you need good guard play. You need experience.
And they have that.
They have that. Check, check. You got to be able to get a stop when you need it. Check. They made the Elite Eight without Dean Wade. Dean Wade played 8 minutes last year. I know everybody's caught up in the UMBC beating Virginia. K-State still beat Creighton without Dean Wade. They beat Kentucky without Dean Wade, in essence. I mean, that's the ignorant part, is that you automatically go, well, they have no Dean Wade. Well, Jesus, last year they didn't have Dean Wade and they made the Elite Eight. Did we forget about that? That was last year, was it not?
Yeah, exactly, you know. And I think that you know, obviously it did help to catch a break in the bracket.
Sure.
And it caught, or it helped to probably catch a Kentucky team off guard, not taking you seriously. But they played damn well without Dean Wade on the floor. And even in some games that they haven't, I mean, it's not like he was only out for two games. He was out for six of them.
Yeah.
And really he didn't play that much at Iowa State. He had 2 points and like 8 rebounds in 15 or 17 minutes. And they won an Ames. So, look, this is a good team even without Dean. They're not poised to make a run without Dean Wade, I don't believe. And I know that they did it, like I said, last year, but there were some different factors in there. So I wouldn't take them far if they don't have Dean, but I'd certainly take them past the first round, and I'd probably take them to give Wisconsin or Oregon a really good fight, if not advance past that game. This isn't a team that's just going to bow out real early and give in just because they lost one player. And frankly, it seems like, it feels to me like the team's already been told, look, Dean's not going to play.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do this by yourself. That's kind of the attitude that I got from the guys when I talked to them on Sunday. So I feel like they're prepared. They're well aware of the fact that Dean's probably done, and they're ready to go do it again without him.
Are you like me that probably the ceiling for K-State in this tournament without Dean Wade is a Sweet 16, that they probably aren't going to go any further than that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't – like I said, I think you're going to have a dogfight in that second round, and then good luck beating Virginia, man. Everybody wants to say that they lost to a 16. Yeah, I get it. But they're still a really, really good team. I mentioned they're a better offensive team and a slightly better defensive team. So I don't think they'll get past the Sweet 16 if they make it there. I mean, heck, anything's possible with this team. I didn't think they'd get past Creighton last year, and they did. And I didn't think they'd get past Kentucky, and they did. So I really don't know what to expect out of this team. They could come out and lay down against UC Irvine and just get, you know, throttled, or, you know, maybe have another LaSalle-type game. It definitely could happen. But I do think that they have the capability to get into that second weekend, but probably just not enough pieces to get much further than that Sweet 16 without Dean.
I would agree with you, unless Virginia gets knocked off. Like last year, then all of a sudden the door opens, you play Ole Miss or Oklahoma for a spot in the Elite Eight, and everybody changes their tune. So I'm with you on all that. All right, the K-State women, they make the tournament as well. Great news, but they're going to play at the exact same time as the men on Friday, which that's just flat out a bummer. But I know the committee for the women's bracket, they're not sitting here going, okay, well, Louisville men and women both made it. We got to rearrange our whole schedule to make sure they don't play at the same time. But still, that doesn't change the fact that it stinks for K-State fans or people who want to follow both those teams when they play at the same time. But what was crazy yesterday was the fact that everything was leaked out early, inadvertently, on TV by ESPN for the women's bracket. And Coach Mitty had to be a little bit resourceful to avoid the kids knowing about where they're going to play and when, because everybody had these watch parties scheduled and everything got just blown out, not out of proportion, but the plans were blown up, weren't they?
Yeah. Luckily for K-State, though, what a crazy day, though. Like, I'm just sitting there in my office, and I kind of had Twitter on, and it just starts popping up, and boom, 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 everybody's dropping brackets everywhere. And so, heck, I got to writing. I mean, I had a story ready to go by the time the selection show started. But, yeah, actually, luckily for K-State, you know, and Coach Mitty, they were actually practicing when it happened. And so Coach Osterman, he saw the bracket. He kind of told Coach Mitty. So he gathered them into the locker room and took away their phones, and then they went into the team auditorium room, kind of where we have press conferences, and they have a projector there, and they watched it in there. They got to have the real reaction, the you know, see it for the first time. They didn't know who they were playing, where they were playing. They just knew they were in, and honestly, they knew they were in before, so it's not like that was really spoiled either. Mm-hmm. So, but honestly, you know, a really good sign for this team, for this program, to get back to that, the NCAA tournament after a pretty disappointing NIT season. And frankly, being 13-9 and 2-6 in the conference or whatever they were, even the WNIT did not look favorable at one point this year. But then they go and win 10 of their last 12, losing 2 to Baylor. I mean, you can't ask for a better finish than that. You know, they're a good team. I think they could absolutely beat this Michigan team and go into the second round. Unfortunately, in women's basketball, there's not that much parity. Mm-hmm. One seeds don't ever lose. I mean, really, they don't. The Final Four is always full of ones and twos. So to really think that they could beat Louisville on Louisville's home floor in the second round is probably asking a lot. But hey, I mean, it's March. Nobody had ever beaten a one seed in the men's tournament last year. Mm-hmm. And so, heck, you know, why can't the 9 go beat a 1 in the women's tournament? Who knows?
Well, yeah, UConn's not in your draw. And, you know, K-State had lost to KU earlier in the year at home, and that was like their low of the season. They turn around, they beat Texas at home, a big win by 18, and then that kind of turned everything in the right direction. I'm with you. I didn't see this coming to where they would be a solid in for the NCAA tournament and being in this 8-9 matchup. So Coach Mitty's done a wonderful job with a team that's still relatively young. Both the K-State women and men will play at 1:00 coming up on Friday. All right, your final four picks. You said Villanova. I'm sure you've got Duke.
Yes, I do have Duke.
As does everybody in America does too, Riley. Way to be different.
Look, that's the thing. Like, I've seen so many people say, like, oh, I got Duke and Kentucky rematch of the Champions Classic. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do something different. And like, as I'm filling out the bracket, I couldn't.
Yeah,
there just isn't a,
I'm with
you. I know. I feel like we say this every year, but it feels like it's top seed heavy and it's going to play a chalk. So I got Duke coming out of the East region.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Villanova coming out of the South.
Mm-hmm.
In the Midwest, I've got Kentucky.
Okay.
I do have Kentucky over. Who do I have them playing there?
Carolina.
North Carolina in the Elite Eight. And then out of the West, I got Texas Tech.
Okay.
I think they have a very favorable matchup all the way. I mean, they're not going to lose that first-round game. I don't think Buffalo or the play-in winner of that game is very good. And then I think Michigan's going to get upset by Nevada in the second round. And so I got Tech and Nevada playing in that Sweet 16 game. I got Tech winning because I think Tech's better. And then Gonzaga, Mark Few always finds a way to come up a little bit short. So I got Texas Tech coming out, which is surprising because I didn't actually think I'd have many Big 12 teams making a run. And then here I have Texas Tech in the Final Four.
So you got a 6, a 1, a 2, and a 3. You only have one seed making to the Final Four. Okay. Mine, by the way, I didn't go crazy. I have Tennessee versus North Carolina, 2 versus a 1. And I got Duke a 1 over Michigan a 2. I've got Duke and Carolina in the national championship. I got Carolina winning it all. Who do you have in the championship and winning it all? You said Duke and Kentucky?
I have Duke and Nova in the championship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Nova's going to stay hot. But I do have Duke winning that one. Look, they're definitively the best team in the nation with Zion Williamson is healthy.
Yep.
There's no question about it. And I think that nobody can beat them in this tournament if Zion's playing healthy. And he certainly looks like he's back to that point. So as long as he's on the floor, I feel comfortable saying that Duke's probably going to win this thing.
They got some talented freshmen, but they are young. It would be interesting if they're in a really tight situation earlier in the tournament, or maybe Michigan State in the Elite Eight, how they would handle that pressure. I think they'll probably be just fine, but you never know with kids that are 18 years of age in those types of situations. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. We appreciate you taking the time here today, Riley. I know we're going a little bit long, but, man, it's March Madness. We got to go long, right? So after ESPN ruined the party for some people across the country with the women's bracket, the off-the-wall question for Riley is, have you done something to spoil a party on accident or on purpose? Have you been have you been a party pooper, Riley? You messed up a surprise party, you accidentally messed something up, anything that just maybe caused the party to go one direction or another.
No, we almost, I don't want to say we almost blew it. When Fitz finished his radiation treatments earlier this year, his wife threw him a surprise party at Wahoo, and he was talking about it on a podcast, and he was, you know, talking about how he was going to have date night with his wife on Thursday at Wahoo, and Zach and I kind of looked at each other when he said it, because we knew about it, but then we kind of stopped ourselves. Like, we came really close to blowing it, I guess I would say, but we did not tip them off. I think it's fair to say that I have successfully avoided doing any of that in my time.
Okay, so you've not ruined a party, like the cops weren't called and you were arrested or anything like that. Okay, all right, just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, if you're putting that into this,
yeah. I mean, it's when you become the life of the party, man. You're the life of the party. Everybody's talking about, oh, look at that guy getting pulled off by coppers.
I definitively say I have not been arrested at a party.
Darn. Well, there's still time, Riley. There's still time.
Yeah, there's plenty.
I'm kidding. I haven't been either, but the cops have come to a few parties I've been at, but luckily they have not been looking for me. All right, what are you working on, Go Powercat, for everybody?
I am 40 minutes away from speaking with Chris Kleiman and the players and coaches, or maybe it's not Chris Kleiman. I don't know. I'm having a hard time keeping track of all of this football availability and who we're talking to and when we're talking to them. But we're about to go talk to the football team. We'll do some stuff there. And then we're taking off tomorrow. We fly out of Kansas City tomorrow afternoon, so we'll be on hand at San Jose. And now's as good a time as any. They're giving away 2 free months when you buy one right now. So $9.95, and you get through March Madness, you get through spring football. It's a great time, so just get on over there and take advantage of that right now.
In your defense, you guys aren't used to having all this access that you now have to the football program, so I'll defend you on that one.
It's making me work a lot more, and I got to tell you, I'm not crazy about it yet.
And that, my friends, is a true American. Riley Gates right there for us. Riley, have a safe trip to San Jose. We'll talk about it next week with you. Thanks for the time, buddy.
All right, thanks,
Floyd. Riley Gates, our Wildcat Insider, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.